John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word of God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. For a few minutes this morning, I would like for us to consider Christ, the life and light of men. Before we get into the service, I want to welcome everyone here. It's good to have visitors with us today. We should be so thankful that God has seen us through another year. He's given us another day, and we should strive each day that He gives us this year to put Him first in our life and to give Him the glory for everything that He has done for us. When you think about Christ and you think about all the different ways that He is portrayed in the New Testament, we have different pictures of Him. Sometimes you go to a museum and you see artists do paintings of the same person at different times, and you get a different idea, a different reflection of that person. And those are beautiful paintings. Well, the writers of the New Testament, instead of using paint, they used words. They were painters with words, and they paint some beautiful pictures. And we're going to look this morning at Christ from John chapter 1. So in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. As we've talked about before, God is like a family name. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the Gospel of John has sometimes been called the Gospel of Eternity, for it is the Gospel of God. It goes back to the beginning, the eternal existence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is identified with God and as God and stated such at the beginning of this Gospel. And then every word, every event in this entire book ties in with that, the divinity of Christ. So from this opening word to the end of the gospel, there's not any deviation from Christ being God, being divine, and presenting Jesus as God coming to the earth in the flesh. And why did He come? He came for the purpose of redeeming man. And because He came to redeem man, every one of us owes Him complete devotion and worship. And not just for a few hours during the week, but for time without end. In the beginning. That reminds me of the book of Genesis. It's like the opening words of Genesis, in the beginning. And it's as John, through the Holy Spirit, or by the Holy Spirit, uses these words. And in the beginning, talking about God in creation, and with John here in the Gospel of John, he is going to be talking about Christ and this new creation. And we're going to be new creatures in Christ. And he talks about Him being the Word. The Greek word, logos, it expressed both reason and speech, thought and expression. This represents the Word of God as a person. Some of these concepts, they are a little bit, I shouldn't say hard to understand, but we usually don't think about something like this. A person coming, God, coming in the flesh and being called the Word. Well, when you think about a word, what does word mean? Word is something that conveys an idea. I remember one preacher when I was young, I heard him say this and it stuck with me all these years. And he would say, words are vehicles of thought. Words are vehicles of thought. I cannot know what you are thinking unless you tell me in words. And we cannot know what God is thinking unless he tells us in words. He told us in words. He showed us in words. He sent his son called the Word so that we could understand Christ and the Father. As Jesus stated it, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And the Word was with God. The Word was in the beginning. The Word was with God. That means our Lord was intimately associated with the Father. He was equal with him. And in John chapter 20 and verse 31, "But these were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." This is the reason that we have the Gospel of John. And in John 1, all the key words of the Gospel are found in this verse. The opening words of this chapter: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You think about when God let us make man in our own image, when Christ created the world, and now Christ, the Word, comes again for this new creation. Well, with this painting that we are going to see John paint in these first few verses, we're going to see three relationships to start with. A relationship of Christ to God. A relationship of the Word to God. So Christ himself is the uttered speech and thought of God. He is the visible expression of the invisible God. 1 John 1:2, "The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us." Christ was the manifestation of that life. And with the Word being in the beginning, again, this is something that is repeated in different passages. Back in Proverbs chapter 8, beginning at verse 22, "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primeval dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he continued, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits so that the waters would not transgress his commands, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him." Friends, God has always existed. Christ has always existed. Christ has been involved in things. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And again, that's hard for our finite mind sometimes to grasp the infinite. But as he has revealed himself to it and has given us evidence, and as John shows the divinity of Christ, we have more than enough evidence to believe. And then believing, what is our response? We bow to him and worship him. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of the Father. Every tongue should confess. Every knee should bow. We should bow quickly. We should bow voluntarily. We should bow lovingly. We should bow reverently, because we recognize who Christ is. And He was from the beginning. And He was intimately associated with God. He was God. Well, John also paints this picture of the relationship of the Word to creation. John 1:3, all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. And Paul taught this same doctrine in Ephesians 3:9, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. You know, when we see all the created things, as David said back in Psalms, you know, the heavens declare the glory work of God. We see His power. We see all of His attributes displayed magnificently in His creation. And then He created us. He created man, the highest of His creation. And we are the highest of His creation because He created us in His image. He gave us a soul. We can live forever. He gave us feelings. He gave us emotions. And you see how the world has just turned all of that upside down and put man on the same level as some slime from billions of years ago. Man who is turn things upside down, and instead of worshiping the Creator, God worships the earth. Well, you can't do this. You know, we've got to worship Mother Earth. It is so against God's Word. And again, how do we know the mind of God? Because of the Word. The Word revealed to us the mind of God. The Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. It was words convey the thoughts of God. So it pleased God to bring the old creation into being through the instrumentality of His Son. You go back to Genesis, let us make man in our own image. Christ created things. That's back in the old creation, back in the book of Genesis. We come to the New Testament, we have this new creation. Where is this new creation? It's in Christ Jesus. The old creation was in Christ. The new creation is in Christ. By Him, He made the worlds, Hebrews 1:2. And by Him, He seeks also to redeem those in the world that are lost in sin. He by whom God made all things has also made peace by the blood of His cross. Hebrews 1:2. Has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. He's our Creator. He's the one that reconciles us. He's the one that spoke to us. He's the one that redeemed us. The Lord Jesus Christ, as the Word of God, holds the same position towards the new creation as the old creation. He's King. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And without Him, nothing was made. Nothing was made. And I just don't understand when we start and talk about Jesus why people don't think Jesus is important or He's not worthy of worship. Or we'll worship Jesus the way that we want to, or we'll worship Jesus if we have some time. Without Him was not anything made. And again, Revelation 4:11, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. So if all things were created for his pleasure, we were created for his pleasure also. We were created to worship God. Again, that's what we've been talking about on Wednesday evenings. That's our purpose in life. And when we try to go against that purpose that we were created for, there's going to be a disconnect. So we see John painting this picture of a relationship of the Word to God, a relationship of the Word to creation, and a relationship of the Word to man. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Why is life spoken of as the light of men and not of creation? He's made light of the material universe, but he is the light of men. Man is something distinct and superior to the rest of creation. He is the light of the universe, but when he is called the light of men, that is special because we are a special creation. He is a personality. Man is a personality that needs this divinity of Christ to fulfill us. And we are not going to be fulfilled without that. Where does that source of life come from that we need? Not from things in the world, but from Christ. He's the bread of life. He's the living water. Only Christ can satisfy that thirst, that hunger that we have, that longing for in our heart. So man is created, but he is created differently than the rest of creation. That is why God sent his Son to man. That is why Christ is called the light of men. And in 1 John 5:11, John tells us, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And when we stop and think about this and the manifestation of Christ, Christ is the manifestation of light and life. Christ is that light and that life that should lighten every human being coming into this world. We talk about something having a spark of life. We talk about somebody with a radiant personality. We talk about somebody that's glowing. Friends, as Christians, that's what we should be like. That's the picture that John is painting of Christ coming in the world to be the light of men, the life manifested in Christ, and as his children, we should manifest that also. So when we look at this light, and what this light is, the life was the light. And where did this light, where did this life shine? It shines in darkness. The light shineth in darkness. Christ, as the light, did not shine in the darkness of the world. He was shining in the darkness of men's hearts. He was made flesh. He came to dwell among us. John 12:46, I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not hide in darkness. You see, Satan is the one that loves the darkness. He loves the darkness in our hearts, and Christ came to shine that light in our hearts. So his purpose, the purpose of the light, is to overcome the darkness of the human heart. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. And you go back to the original creation, and what did God say? Let there be light. Let there be light. And there is that physical light. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, it was God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Just as God made light shine back in the beginning, God made light shine in man's hearts when Christ came to this earth. The effect of its shining, the darkness did not comprehend it. You think about when Christ came, did people receive him? Did they, oh, we're so glad you came? No, they didn't receive his light. They were looking for someone else. They didn't not just receive it, but they pursued him to the point of putting him to death. You see, the darkness did not apprehend the light. It did not overtake the light. The darkness of unbelief, they remained in that darkness. Luke 19, beginning at verse 42, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, that they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. And here Christ is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. They didn't recognize Christ coming as the Messiah, the Redeemer, the one to save the world. They didn't understand Christ talking about, because you are rejecting me, this Jewish nation is no longer going to exist. You're going to be surrounded. You're going to see not one stone left upon another. And the Romans came in and destroyed Jerusalem. But with this darkness and the light, the darkness could not overcome the light. And we need to understand that and appreciate that. Darkness, Satan, cannot overpower the light. We need to thank God that the darkness of sin and fear was not able to overcome the light of His Son. John 3:18, he who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. So even though man loved darkness, Christ overcame that darkness. He was victorious. He was victorious. Satan could not hold him in the grave. Up from the grave he arose. He came as the new creation to redeem man. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. In John 1:5, the world did not understand Christ. But friends, we do. John paints this beautiful picture of Jesus being the life and the light. There's a song that we sing sometimes called The Great Redeemer. How I love the Great Redeemer who is doing so much for me. With what joy I tell the story of the love that makes men free. And again, we should have that radiance, that joy, that exuberance of that light shining. Till my earthly life is ended, I will send songs above. Then beside the crystal sea, more and more my soul shall be, praising Jesus and His love. He was in the beginning with God. He created all things. All things exist through Him. He is everything to me. He is everything to me, and everything shall always be. I will never cease to raise a song of gladness in His praise. Here and in the world above, my soul shall sing of saving love. Life and light and joy is He, the precious friend who died for me. Friend, how do you see Christ? How do you see Jesus? Do you see Him as somebody that the world remembers one day out of the year? Do you see Him as your Redeemer? As the one that loved you and left heaven and came to die for you? Revelation 22:5. You know, you think about Jesus giving up the things in heaven and coming down as the light to shine in this world and he went back into heaven, and he told us that he would prepare a place for us, to go to. And in Revelation 22:5, there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Friends, what a glorious promise that we have, that when we follow the light, we can be victorious over sin, we can walk in his fellowship, and we can have that home in heaven with him for time without end. Friend, is there anyone here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel invitation? If so, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.